The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key. Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and I just want to thank you all for tuning in. Today is Friday, March the 4th, 2016, and we have a live show for you today. Man, my man Scotty was, you know what, I really, really miss Public Enemy. I miss where the overall movement or the overall energy of the youth was displayed in real educational revolutionary music. I really, really do miss that. Today, you already know, I don't need to say anymore, but I really, really do miss that. But I appreciate it for the time that we did have it, because it was very, very significant in all of our lives. And I know it was significant in Scotty's life. It was significant in my life, significant in so many people's lives. It went way beyond the music. It went to the essence of the energy that we knew we had to garner and garnish in order to meet the coming challenges that are going to be before us. So, man, miss Public Enemy. So, with that being said, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell everyone about Black Talk Radio Network, and also assist and support the network. That's right, support the network, because that is what it really takes in order for things to get done. Remember, you know, it's so important that we understand that there is a responsibility that we have to different organizations and different people and different programs that have our best interest at hand, especially when we partake in it ourselves. We have to make sure that it is going to be there. It needs to be self-sufficient by you, and it doesn't need to be actually, you know, it would help with different sponsors and everything else. But, you know, I know Scotty won't take any kind of sponsors, and nor should he. And it's so important that it comes, you know, sincerely from the people that benefit from the overall radio network, you, because you are a part of the network, is a key component of the network. And that needs to be fully supported by the people that actually listen to, enjoy, and see that, and where, and understand and see that Black Talk Radio Network brings a level of service to them. So, everyone, continue to support. And if you haven't supported Black Talk Radio Network, please do that at the earliest convenience, like today. You know, make a monetary donation, donate your time, donate your professional services, donate whatever it is that you can to Black Talk Radio Network. Have different events and have a Black Talk Radio Network featured at those events and the shows and the programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network. That is how everything could really start to grow. And also, with that being said, go to Facebook and go to our show's Facebook page. That's Tando Radio Show. It's Tando Radio Show on Facebook, and check out what we have posted there. And we have some articles. If you find some things that you would like us to post, definitely you can send us a message there, or comment on some of the posts that we have, and or you can share them, or you can like them, whatever it is that you would like. You can do that there, and you can see some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. So let's go to the page and see what was posted there. Some of the things we're definitely going to talk about today. So let's go through some of them. There was a, this is from Spiegel.de, and it's a German publishing, is published out of Germany, and really, really telling. This is probably one of the most important stories that came out today on a global financial level. And this one is, you got to right click it to get it to actually translate to English. And this is basically what has been said. And this is my commentary. Another page in a global collapse book has been written. The EU banks are now at war with the ECB, the European Central Bank. Talk about a currency war. Translate this story and you can see the monetary policy has turned into self-inflicted, move this down, this spoil. The banks are going to hoard cash and use people's deposit as hostage for leverage, which is going to spring tactical central banking and national capital controls that will destroy the usual victim, you, us, me, and we. So check out that. What's happening here is that the banks within the EU are now going to start to hoard cash, basically put it in their own vaults, not put it in the central banks, the European central banks vaults, because they get charged 3.1% for that, and if they hold it in their vaults is like in their vaults is like 1.7%. And this is all contrived in order to bring about a speedy collapse, or to, well, I wouldn't say a speedy collapse, but to further the overall collapse. And you would say, how and why? Well, this is how. You've already heard, we've already brought to you so many instances and so many articles, and we talked about them and we continue to talk about them, where they want to bring in capital controls. They've already talked about getting rid of the 500 euro currency and getting rid of the $100 bill here in the United States. Those are all forms of capital controls as they try to move and get rid of all cash in itself. And what happens here, how this is critical to this whole thing, is that once the banks start hoarding physical cash, which there isn't that much of in the world, and most of the cash is digital. Once they start to hoard large amounts of cash within their vaults, that is going to take a significant portion of the physical cash that's in circulation out of circulation. And this is where they can start to get rid of the cash. They're telling you they're hoarding it, but in my opinion, they're going to be destroying it, possibly so. And then this, as a response, the EU could go ahead and start to bring in even further and speed up the overall capital controls, which is going to adversely affect you. And not only you, but every person here in the United States will be adversely affected, especially people within our community, because our community is really a cash-based community. But it's also going to hurt the poor, which is exclusively on most levels, they're disproportionately leveraged in cash. And this is the overall plan and the design, and it's unfolding. It's not what they're saying, it's what they're saying in between the lines that speaks the loudest. And this is something that we will talk about perhaps today. Very, very important story. Right click it and get and find out what is going on. Next. Oops. Sorry. Next one comes from medicaldaily.com. It says vitamin D deficiency may spur breast cancer. This is, you know, vitamin D is so important. Most people are vitamin D deficient. Vitamin D is so important. And sister Cynthia Johnson says, and I was on my way to get some vitamin D because I ran out, shaking my head. Cynthia is on top of everything. Love Cynthia. And then she says, what type do you take? Oh, that was Sister Davis said, what type do you take? Let me respond to them. Well, the thing that you really should, the one that I prefer is vitamin D3. The vitamin D3, depending on where you are, what time of the year it is, how much sun exposure you have in the later parts of, in the winter months and everything, if you're in a place that doesn't get a lot of sun, direct sunlight, what you want to do is increase your overall vitamin D, which everyone should be taking vitamin D because we're vitamin D deficient. And a lot of people that go into have any form of trauma, an accident where the body is going through a state of shock and trauma, the vitamin D in the body is really necessary in order for the body to recover and be able to get rid of most people. A lot of people that are in trauma units because of accidents or trauma, a lot of them show displays of strong vitamin D deficiency. So it's so important that you understand and check out what vitamin D is really, really essential, really, really essential. So vitamin D3, I don't just use vitamin D itself. I get vitamin D3, and depending on what type of year it is, where you live, you know, when I was living in Southern California, you got so much sun. I still would take it, though, up to 5,000 milligrams in the wintertime with no sun could be it, depending on who you are and what your overall sun exposure. I tell you, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, you need to really be on vitamin D. So really a great article. Check that one out. A big fan and a big supporter of vitamin D and D3 and the importance of it. Next one comes from CNN. This one said, I didn't check up on this. I need to check up on this. I think there was some overall change in this where Syria was able to start to get some of their lights on. But this is when I first heard about it, I just put it out real quickly. It's in the commentary, I said, this could be a war move. Watch this carefully. Not good. Syria reports nationwide electrical outage. The Syrian government reported a nationwide power outage, the latest electrical problem in a country that has seen frequent outages during a five-year war. That is very, very critical because one of the things before, you want to do before a major war campaign is you want to take out the grid, the electrical grid. So I will check back, but when I think I did check some on this, but I think some power was restored. But this is not a great time for Syria's lights to be going out, because when Syria lights can go out, the real fireworks may be starting very soon after that. So just be mindful of that. Next one, man, this picture is hilarious. I don't know if Scotty could see this one or if any of you on Tando Radio Show happen to check this one out. This one comes from Russia Insider. Carries Plan B, attack Syria from Lebanon with Saudi and Turkish help. Yesterday we described what looks like a Turkish-Saudi plan to rise a Sunni militia in northern Lebanon to then attack neighbors Syria region held by the Syrian government. And, you know, it's so funny when I look at this picture that's there on Tando. Oh man, I don't know. I wish Scotty was Scotty, are you there? You happen to be there? No, Scotty's not there. Man, I wish Scotty was there. But one of the things I want you to notice on this picture, this one's from RussiaInsider.com. And really, really take a look at this picture. You take a look at this picture, I see so much American influence from the weapon, from the tactics, from the demeanor, from the positioning, from the body language of the people that are here. You know, you could tell people where they come from without even speaking to them. You can kind of almost tell where they're from. And if anyone, you know, and if Brother Davis was here, or if Angel was here, or Brother Bragg was here, they would be able to see this and pick up right on this. This is crazy. But check out this article, really, really good. But we already know that's what this is. It's a proxy war by the U.S. that's being put on, is going to turn into a GNW, global nuclear war, in my opinion, majorly. But check out that article. We may touch on some of that. I doubt it today, but we will touch on it in the future, because it's going to become very, very important. And I'm telling you all of these things because this is going to directly affect our young people within our community. Hold on, Brother Davis is it? Brother Davis, Sister Davis, you there?
It's Brother Davis, man. You know, I was just hanging in the background.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know, Brother Davis, were you able to look at the Facebook page today? And I posted a article that came out of RussiaInsider.com today. It says, Kerry's Plan B attacks Syria from Lebanon.
I glanced over it, but I also did some due diligence on the other side, so I'm somewhat familiar with it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you get a chance, just take a look at the picture, and you can see the American influence, you know, from the weaponry. You know, they have, you know, two American weapons, two AR, the M16s. They have two M16s. But just their overall attacks, and the key that gives it away for me is look at where their trigger finger is. And, you know, if anyone, you know, such as yourself and myself and other people that listen to Tando Radio Show, that is purely and almost exclusively trained by the Americans in how they're holding their weapons. The one gentleman with the black, his face is covered, just the way that his wrist is cocked and how he's holding his weapon, that is an American tactic. Then the person on the far left, whose face is covered out, the way he's positioning himself, it's purely American from start to go. It's so easy to pick that out. So I just was wondering if you had noticed that.
Well, actually, I hadn't, but one of the unique things is the standard weapon for the Russian military are AK-47.
Yeah.
And you have to hold them entirely different because of the way the gun is formed itself.
Right, so the way they rise, yeah.
Absolutely. That speaks for itself that American equipment is getting into areas in which they're trying to tell you they don't understand how. But let's face it, on the level that they're getting them, they know how. They're just not one of the experts.
Yeah, right, Brother David. So, but yeah, I just wanted to see if you had checked that out and saw it. So, and just to verify, you know, what it is that we were seeing. So, but Brother, hang on. We're going to continue this, and we'll at any time, we'll jump in at any time, Brother Davis.
Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you. Okay, next we have inside of the Facebook page for Tando Radio Show. Next one comes from RT.com. Moody's cuts China's credit rating outlook to negative. Amazing, amazing, amazing. This is, believe me, this is the Western banking doing, and which is, you know, going to happen. You can expect. It's amazing how China. Check real quick. Let me open this article real quick. Where China's debt ratio is far less than America's. But Moody's wants to, and S&P wants to downgrade them, which I understand and get, but it's comical to me. It's totally, totally comical to me. And in the article, basically, I don't want to spend too much time in this. It's very important, though. The rating agencies, oh, man, hopefully it stops loading and then I can. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Okay, it says, the rating agency says China's government debt has increased from 32.5% of the country's GDP in 2012 to 40.6% at the end of last year. This is expecting a further rise to 43% by 2017. China's foreign reserves fell sharply to $3.2 trillion over the last 18 months. Due to the central bank's active measure to support the national currency, Beijing's reserves, the world's largest, remains amped, especially in relation to China's external debt, acknowledged the agency. This is ridiculous, but this is a part of the overall global war, the currency wars and the financial wars that are being fought and being positioned for the appropriate time for the trap to be sprung, which has already been sprung. But check out this is funny how this was done. And then when Moody's and every S&P downgraded the U.S. In 2008, the U.S. wanted to take him to court and everything else. But believe me, this is a designed part of the overall collapse to war that is going to be very, very economical based in whole. So check out that article, really good one, and telling you where things are and where they are going. Next we have, pull this down. This is probably, the one story would probably be the most important. This one is a very, very important one. This one comes from Business Wire, businesswire.com. Assurance of new IAU trust fund shares temporarily suspends existing shares to trade normally. Basically, what was happening here is that the BlackRock had ceased to give insurance on gold holdings. Basically, suspension results from surge demand for gold, which requires registry of new shares. Insurance of new IAU gold trust shares temporarily suspended existing shares to trade normally for retail and institutional investors on the NYSE, ARCO, and other venues. Suspension results from the surge in demand for physical gold. So what is happening here is that BlackRock and this agency has stopped insuring because people are running into physical gold and they don't want. And what this was the iShares gold trust. And basically people would take out insurance just in case something happened that they could get paid assets. So it's basically IAU holds gold as a physical asset. IAU is an exchange traded commodity, ETC, which therefore is not eligible for registry as an investment company under the 40 Act. IAU may only register under the 33 Act as a grant trust. Under the 33 Act, subscriptions of a new share in excess of those registers required an additional filing with the SEC. Nearly all of the U.S. iShares are exchange-traded funds, ETFs, registered as investment companies under the 40 Act. The 40 Act provides for the continuous offerings of shares that do not require registry or additional shares as the funds grow due to investors' demand to a new subscription. So basically, but let me read the beginning part of it. iShares Delaware Trust Sponsor LLC, in its capacity as a sponsor of iShares Gold Trust, was temporarily suspended the creation of new shares of IAU until additional shares are registered with the Security Exchange Commission. The suspension did not affect the ability of retailers or insurer investors to trade on the stock market. Retailers and institutional investors will continue to be able to buy and sell shares in IAU. But this is what it is. You won't be able to get the insurance because they stopped it because too many people are running into gold. This is a very, very important thing. And it says that let's go down. Well, I don't want to spend too much time. I'll touch on this at an appropriate time, but it just gives people that's in the market an understanding of where we are and where things are going. And it's very, very, you know, it's telling. And it's requiring you to really plan for what it is that's happening. So let me see. We could do this real quick. Okay, here we go. No, we'll come back to it later. I'll come back to that a little bit later. Okay, next one we have. I don't want to lose time. Next one we have, this article comes from Natural News. Human body parts found mailed to the United States from Bangkok. Black market for dead babies is a growing business. Human baby parts found mailed to the United States from Bangkok. Black market for babies is real. Check out this article. And this is one of the reasons why Planned Parenthood has been caught trying to engage in selling aborted fetuses, tissues, and body parts into the medical field for profit. And this is why they put them in our neighborhoods and promote this overall abortion paradigm, which is nothing more than the harvesting of bodies. This is nothing more than that. They try to as once again, they always try, the key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you to believe that someone has your best interest at hand and at heart. When all of it is a sham and a charade and fraudulent and immoral and more and probably what it really is based in is demonic rituals that are murderous at best. So this is something that we need to know, and we need to collectively come together with, and not by the ways of the former ways that we have before through the so-called organizations, the do-nothing organizations. We need to change our direction and give them no longer energy and move towards real solutions that are adversely affecting us all and set that precedent for that to happen. So check out that article. Very telling. Another great article, important one. This one comes from MarketWatch.com. Why the U.S. stock market now has scary parallels to 1929. So check out that article. That's there. We won't have, but we'll take a look at this at some other time. But check this out. Our next one comes from, in the news today, from Bloomberg.com. Inside China's plan for military, for a military that can counter the U.S. muscle. And in this one, let me just tell you this about this. This is hilarious. Really, Bloomberg? Let me tell you something. If China did have plans, you wouldn't know. But this is one of the things, if it was sincere, you wouldn't know. But this is one of the things that propaganda is used in order for the overall objective at hand. This is another propaganda method to get to the overall objective. If China was a sincere entity as far as a government and not in a fraternity of governments, there would be no way in the world that Bloomberg would actually have any way to know what China's plans were. And if they did know, they would never get the opportunity to publish it. Come on. China has a huge hacking program. And so, but this is, you know, but it's a good read. And we'll take a look at that at the appropriate time, because why not? It's there. Next one. This is from the NavyTimes.com. The U.S. just sent carrier strike group to confront China. A carrier strike group and the 7th Fleet flagship have sailed into the South Chinese Sea in a massive show of force. Man, not good. But this is where we are. So let's take a look at this real quickly. The United States Navy has dispatched a small armada to the South Sea of China. The carrier group John C. Stennis. Move this real quick. Close this window. Two destroyers, the carrier John C. Stennis, two destroyers, two cruisers, and the 7th Fleet flagship have sailed into the disputed waters in the recent days, according to military officials. The carrier strike group is the latest to show a force in the tense region, with the United States asserting that China is militarizing the region to guard the excessive territory claim, Senators joined in the region by the crews in Tama and the Mobile Bay and the destroyer Changhong and Stocksdale. The command ship Blue Ridge, the floating headquarters of the Japanese base 7th Fleet, is also in the area en route to a port to visit in the Philippines. The Senate deployed from Washington State on January 15th. Let me tell you something. In my opinion, what one of the things, the black swans or false flags that you can see, is you can see a naval aircraft carrier on the American side severely damaged or even sunk. And that is going to start the war, like, because they like to start wars from something being attacked and put in place, so it's a perfect target, and then boom, you know, from the Gulf of Tonkin to Pearl Harbor, and then that could definitely start kicking everything off. And when that happens, the price of oil, as oil is increasing now, and I think that is going to continue to increase up now, because I believe that all of the coffers and the all of the governments have secured enough oil in order to fight a global war, and they have it all in storage and their strategic reserves and everything else. So now is the time that they could kick off everything else, and the price of oil is going to go up. But listen. If a carrier is sunk anywhere in the world, you can forget the prices of oil is going to be crazy, but especially if it happens anywhere in the Middle East and it interrupts just a little of the Persian Gulf area, Strait of Hormuz, or anything of that nature. Gas prices will go from wherever they are now to $15, $16, $17 a gallon, $20 a gallon. Believe me, and that will totally, totally shock the American people to where they would be like, what's going on, what? And they would be ready to, as always, fall in line. So check out this article. This is very telling, and this is something that we need to be preparing for in so many different ways. You have young people, you have daughters that are of draft age. Believe me, they're going to do it. They are going to try to draft. They're not going to try. They're going to institute the draft for our daughters, for the young women in this country. And this is going to happen, and it's going to be, because it has to be a formidable foe in order for that to happen. That can't happen if they're just invading Iraq. That can't happen if they're just going to invade Libya. That can't happen if they just invade the Ukraine. But that definitely will happen if a U.S. aircraft carrier is sunk by in the South Sea of China, or if Iran sinks one in the Persian Gulf. And Russia and Pakistan all comes to Iran's aid, forget about it. It's over. They will be drafting your daughters, and you better be prepared for that. So today's show, we're going to look over some current events, but one of the things I want to do, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back out of a commercial break, we have to really look at what's going on, this banking thing that's happening, and let me just log back in, and I want to play a video, one that we didn't get to finish, very, very good video by James Corbin. And we will definitely take a look at that and come back and talk about it so that you can be properly prepared for what's going on. Give me one second. My system's been kicking me out lately anytime I move off of, move into the news, then the conference line kicks me out. So give me one sec and I will have it and we'll get straight to it. So we're going to go to a commercial break and we'll come back. Very, very important. I think this is a very well done explanation as to what the overall banking system has been. We started listening to this maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe just a little longer, and we would definitely come back to it because it's just that important. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we'll jump into that. And if you have any comments or questions, of course, the phone lines will be open for you to engage in a dialogue and to bring out some solutions that are necessary for us, our people, and our communities, and our families. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. And what we want to do is I want to continue this one video that we started. Very, very good one. I don't want to start it back at the beginning because we've already started there. Very good. Very telling. It's a great history as to a great depiction of some of the historical events that have happened within the banking sector. It's called the Century of Enslavement. And so I posted inside of Tando. Let me hold this real quick, and then so just to set the table for it. And we're going to pick it back up where we left off. Very, very good. So that this can give you an understanding of exactly how this conspiracy has been put together, and it continues to spread its web everywhere, and it has never, ever left because we have not known about it in order to change our direction and not to allow it to adversely affect us or have any influence in our daily decision making in life. So let's go to it. It's very, very good. And then after that, we'll come back and talk about it. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Street. Opposition to Hamilton and his debt-based system for establishing the finances of the U.S. is fierce. Led by Jefferson and Madison, the bankers and their system of debt enslavement is called out for the force of destruction that it is, with Thomas Jefferson writing, "The spirit of war and indictment, since the modern theory of the perpetuation of debt, has drenched the earth with blood and crushed its inhabitants under burdens ever accumulating." Still, Hamilton proves victorious. The first Bank of the United States is chartered in 1791 and follows the pattern of the Bank of England and the Bank of North America almost exactly. A privately owned central bank with the authority to loan money that it creates out of nothing to the government. In fact, it is the very same people behind the new bank as were behind the old Bank of North America. It was Alexander Hamilton, Robert Morris's former aide, who first proposed Morris for the position of financial superintendent, and the director of the old Bank of North America, Thomas Willing, is brought in to serve as the first director of the First Bank of the United States. Meet the new banking bosses, same as the old banking bosses. In the first 5 years of the bank's existence, the U.S. government borrows $8.2 million from the bank, and prices rise 72%. By 1795, when Hamilton leaves office, the incoming Treasury Secretary announces that the government needs even more money and sells off the government's meager 20% share in the bank, making it a fully private corporation. Once again, the U.S. economy is plundered while the private banking cartel laughs all the way to the bank that they created. By the time the bank's charter comes due for renewal in 1811, the tide has changed for the money interests behind the bank. Hamilton is dead, shot to death in a duel with Aaron Burr. The bank-supporting Federalist Party is out of power. The public are wary of foreign ownership of the central bank, and what's more, don't see the point of a central bank in time of peace. Accordingly, the charter renewal is voted down in the Senate, and the bank is closed in 1811. Less than a year later, the U.S. is once again at war with England. After 2 years of bitter struggle, the public debt of the U.S. has nearly tripled from $45.2 million to $119.2 million. With trade at a standstill, prices soaring, inflation rising, and debt mounting, President Madison signs the charter for the creation of another central bank, the Second Bank of the United States, in 1816. Just like the two central banks before it, it is majority privately owned and is granted the power to loan money that it creates out of thin air to the government.
I wanted to stop it there real quickly for this. Do you see the similarities from the past? The debt was rising. It was all run by private bankers. And when that happens, what do you do? Inflation started to take hold. What happens? They move into war. This is how you know that these wars are going to be a global war because of how much debt is in the system itself. And it's all run and created from the same institutions of the past that started the wars, and they will start all of the wars in the future if we don't change our direction and understand that the conspiracy is an agenda, it's not a theory. It is actually an agenda. And so I wanted to make sure that you caught that and to see these similarities and watch how this happens, and you can see what's playing out from the past as to where we are right now. So let's go back to the presentation.
The 20-year bank charter is due to expire in 1836, but still in his first term, President Andrew Jackson has already vowed to let it die prior to renewal. Believing that Jackson won't risk his chance for re-election in 1832 on the issue, the bankers forward a bill to renew the bank's charter in July of that year, 4 years ahead of schedule. Remarkably, Jackson vetoes the renewal charter and stakes his re-election on the people's support of his move. In his veto message, Jackson writes in no uncertain terms about his opposition to the bank. Whatever interest or influence, whether public or private, has given birth to this act, it cannot be found either in the wishes or necessities of the executive department, by which present action is deemed premature, and the powers conferred upon its agent not only unnecessary, but dangerous to the government and country. It is to be regretted that the rich and powerful too often bend the acts of government to their selfish purposes. If we cannot at once, in justice to interests vested under improvident legislation, make our government what it ought to be, we can at least take a stand against all new grants of monopolies and exclusive privileges, against any prostitution of our government to the advancement of the few at the expense of the many, and in favor of compromise and gradual reform in our code of laws and system of political economy. The people side with Jackson, and he's re-elected on the back of his slogan, Jackson and No Bank. The president makes good on his pledge. In 1833, he announces that the government will stop using the bank and will pay off its debt. The bankers retaliate in 1834 by staging a financial crisis and attempting to pin the blame on Jackson, but it's no use. On January 8, 1835, President Jackson succeeds in paying off the debt, and for the first and only time in its history, the United States is free from the debt chain of the bankers. In 1836, the Second Bank of the United States charter expires, and the bank loses its status as America's central bank. It is 77 years before the bankers can regain the jewel in their crown, but it is not for lack of trying. Immediately upon the death of the bank, the banking oligarchs...
Okay, I wanted to stop it there again for another thing, very significant thing. 77 years. And I don't know if you all, if I played something from Christine Lagarde talking about the importance of seven. It was amazing. She's the, for those of you who know, Christine Lagarde is the head of the IMF. And she went up on a podium in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago. And she says, I do what I'm told in everything. And then she goes into this numerology. And it's all based in 7 and 77. And she's telling you everything that's going to happen. We played it here on Tando Radio Show. And I'll play it again on Monday or so for those of you so you can see. The 77 was, it's been 77 years since the Bretton Woods agreement. And basically she was saying they expect a new currency, a new global movement. And because these people practice, this is numerology that they're practicing. But they blend numerology in with so many other things because this is a part of their ritual practice. This is why we have some of the very sick, demonic, and occultist actions happening at the so-called seat of authority in the world. Because this is what they practice. And this 77 was extremely, extremely significant. And you're going to see why, and in the future, you will see why from the events that will be unfolding in this present time. So let's go back. I just wanted to make that so that you could catch that. Let's go on.
Banking oligarchs in England react by contracting trade, removing capital from the U.S., demanding payment in hard currency for all exports, and tightening credit. This results in a financial crisis known as the Panic of 1837, and once again Jackson's campaign to kill the bank is blamed for the crisis. Throughout the late 19th century, the United States is rocked by banking panics brought about by wild banking speculation and sharp contractions in credit. By the dawn of the 20th century, the bulk of the money in the American economy has been centralized in the hands of a small clique of industrial magnates, each with a near monopoly on a sector of the economy. There are the Astors in real estate, the Carnegies and the Schwabs in steel, the Harrimans, Stanfords, and Vanderbilts in railroads, the Millens and the Rockefellers in oil. As all of these families start to consolidate their fortunes, they gravitate naturally to the banking sector. And in this capacity, they form a network of financial interests and institutions that centered largely around one man, banking scion and increasingly America's informal central banker in the absence of a central bank, John Pierpont Morgan. John Pierpont Morgan, or Pierpont as he prefers to be called, is born in Hartford, Connecticut in 1837 to Junius Spencer Morgan, a successful banker and financier. Morgan rides his father's coattails into the banking business, and by 1871 is partnered in his own firm, the firm that was eventually to become J.P. Morgan & Company. It is Morgan who finances Cornelius Vanderbilt's New York Central Railroad. It is Morgan that finances the launch of nearly every major corporation of the period, from AT&T to General Electric to General Motors to DuPont. It is Morgan who buys out Carnegie and creates the United States Steel Corporation, America's first billion-dollar company. It is Morgan who brokers a deal with President Grover Cleveland to save the nation's gold reserves by selling $62 million worth of gold to the Treasury in return for government bonds. And it is Morgan who, in 1907, sets in motion the crisis that leads to the creation of the Federal Reserve. That year, Morgan begins spreading rumors about the precarious finances of the Knickerbocker Trust Company, a Morgan competitor and one of the largest financial institutions in the United States at the time. The resulting crisis, dubbed the Panic of 1907, shakes the U.S. financial system to its core. Morgan puts himself forward as a hero, boldly offering to help underwrite some of the faltering banks and brokerage houses to keep them from going under. After a bout of hand-wringing over the nation's finances, a congressional committee is assembled to investigate the Money Trust, the bankers and financiers who brought the nation so close to financial ruin and that wield such power over the nation's finances. The public follows the issue closely, and in the end a handful of bankers are identified as key players in the Money Trust's operations, including Paul Warburg, Benjamin Strong Jr., and J.P. Morgan. Andrew Gavin Marshall, editor of the People's Book Project, explains.
At the beginning of the 20th century, there was an investigation following the greatest of these financial panics, which was in 1907. And this investigation was on what was called the Money Trust, which found that three banking interests, J.P. Morgan, National City Bank, and the City Bank of New York, I believe it was, basically controlled the entire financial system. So three banks. And the public hatred towards these institutions was unprecedented. There was an overwhelming consensus in the country for establishing a central bank. But there were many different interests in pushing this, and everyone had sort of their own specific purpose behind advocating for a central bank. So to represent the most people, you had farmer interests, populists, progressives, who were advocating a central bank because they couldn't take the recurring panics, but they wanted government control of a central bank. They wanted it to be exclusively under the public control because they despised and feared the New York banks as wielding too much influence. So for them, a central bank would be a way to curb the power of these private financial interests. On the other hand, those same financial interests were advocating for a central bank to serve as a source of stability for their control of the system, also to act as a lender of last resort to them, and so that they would never have to face a collapse, but also in order to exert more control through a central bank. The private New York banking community wanted a central bank under the exclusive control of them. There's a shocker. So you had all these various different interests which converged. Of course, the most influential happened to be the New York financial houses, which were more aligned with European financial houses than they were with any other element in American society. The main individual behind the founding of the Federal Reserve was Paul Warburg, who was a partner with Kuhn Loeb and Company, European banking house. His brothers were prominent bankers in Germany at that time, and he had, of course, close connections with every major financial and really big industrial firm in the United States and most of those existing in Europe. And he was discussing all these ideas with his fellow compatriots in advocating for a central bank. In 1910, Warburg, got the support of a senator named Senator Aldrich, whose family later married into the Rockefeller family. Again, I'm sure just a coincidence, but Aldrich invited Warburg and a number of other bankers to a private secret meeting on Jekyll Island, just off the coast of Georgia, where they met in 1910 to discuss the construction of a central bank in the United States, but one which, of course, would be owned and serve the interests of the private bankers. Aldrich then, in 1911, presented this as the Aldrich Plan or the Aldrich Bill in the U.S. Congress, and it was actually voted out.
The public, suspicious of Senator Aldrich's banking connections, ultimately reject the Jekyll Island Cabal's Aldrich Plan. The Cabal does not give up, however. They simply revise and rename their plan, giving it a new public face, that of Senator Robert Owen and Representative Carter Glass. In the end, the money trust that was behind the Panic of 1907 uses the public's own outrage against them to complete their consolidation of control over the banking system. The newly retitled Federal Reserve Act is signed into law on December 23, 1913, and the Fed begins operations the next year.
Okay, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to finish this and then just bring you some of this information. Now, if you notice something, the key to this is that They tried, it didn't work, and they came back, which, in my opinion, they never, ever, never, ever failed before in the past. Even though they gave the appearance that they did, no, they weren't. What they were doing is that they were positioning themselves for the big catch. And they were positioning themselves to have complete slow control of, in a methodical way over everyone's lives. See, they went from just the bank, then they got the people to get into, well, we want a bank, but it has to be a central bank run by government, which is still the exact same thing. And they progressively moved towards that, and they had the different crises come into play and wars to come into play to ensure that. Why is that so important? Because that's the exact same thing that's happening here. Now, what they're going to do is that it has reached its, the central banking method has reached its climax. Now they need to come in with something else new. And guess what that new thing going to be? They already told you about it in so many words. They've already indoctrinated you to it. They've already subliminally put it in your mind because they're going to do it. It's called the New World Order. Where in during the crisis of 2008, when Blair, the prime minister when Brown was the prime minister of England, said that we have to move out of central banks having control. We need to have governmental control over. We need to go into a new form of banking. And Papa Bush said this on numerous occasions at the State of the Union, just on 9/11 in 2099, I believe it was, can't remember what year it was, right off the top of my head. He said it in two states of the Union, in call for the New World Order, where the rule of the jungle will not be on this, because who ruled the jungle? The great creator God Almighty created the jungles, and they've already demonically have moved away from it. But see how they do it is very strategical to get you to buy into the poison that they're pushing. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, you have to start to put these pieces together so that you can see where we are now and what's coming. What's coming is major, major global nuclear war on different fronts, on the economic, on the geopolitical, and on the physical side. And you need to have yourself and family prepared for this, because this is real and it's already here. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. Let me see where we are. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks. Let me make sure. Okay, we are right. Boom, gotcha. Okay, so we'll be right back. And if you have any questions or comments, definitely jump on the line. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 5490-32#, and hit *61. And I'll see you in queue and bring you up. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick first break.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network.
Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. If you have any questions or comments on what we're listening to, and you can see the correlation, you can see how this is all playing out, is now becoming very clear to you, but it already has been clear to you. You've known about this, and this is why you...
These are the basic questions that would get to the heart of the fundamental...
Sorry. This is why you came to Black Talk Radio Network. This is why you listened to Tando Radio Show, because you knew something was not right. And you just may not have known all of the pieces, but you've known that it was completely, completely corrupt. And you realized that you needed to know in order to make good decisions for yourself, your family, and our community to get away from what is going to be brought upon the general population. The enslavement will never, ever end. I've said this so many times before. You've never seen a business go out of business because it was profitable and it was successful. Those businesses don't go out of business. And the business of enslaving people has never gone out of business since it was instituted many, many moons and suns ago. But it needs to. And it should, and the only way that it is going to is if we know our enemy and know ourselves. One of the most important things that we can do to get away and actually change the overall environment. And the thing is that we can never, ever, ever become what it is that we're changing in self. We can't use the same consciousness. We can't use the same motivation. We can't use the same spirit, nor can we have the same compass, moral compass, nor the same heart. We have to be made whole. And besides, we will not partake or give energy and create life out of what has been demonically destructive. Because that is why, if we don't do that, this will continue to be a part of our overall missed opportunity to develop from a class zero society to a class one society. And it's long overdue. It's been nearly reached on multiple fronts, but it takes the energy that you have and who you are to push us where we need to go. So let's go back to the video, and hopefully you're learning some things, and you can start to see how this is all coming into view, and you can see what's coming next. Very important. In order for you to prepare, you have to know what's going to be coming before it comes, so that once it does come, you know the appropriate response to mitigate and to adjust from the adversities or obstacles, and to seize on the opportunities that will be laid there.
That would get to the heart of the fundamental question, what is money? And that is why the answer to these questions have been shrouded in impenetrable economic jargon. Even the Federal Reserve's own educational propaganda, which has an unusual tendency towards cutesy animation and talking down to its audience, has a difficult time summarizing the Fed's mission and responsibilities. According to the Fed,
to achieve these goals, the Fed, then and now, combines centralized national authority through the Board of Governors, remember that on the map, with a healthy dose of regional independence through the Reserve Banks. A third entity, the Federal Open Market Committee, brings together the expertise of the first two in setting the nation's monetary policy.
Precisely what imaginary gaggle of schoolchildren is this economic gibberish aimed at? The simple truth, hidden behind the sleight of hand of economic jargon and magisterial titles, is that a banking cartel has monopolized the most important item in our entire economy, money itself. We are taught to think of money as the pieces of paper printed in government printing presses or coins minted by government mints. While this is partially true, in this day and age, the actual notes and coins circulating in the economy represent only a tiny fraction of the money in existence. Over 90% of the money supply is in fact created by private banks as loans that are payable back to the banks at interest. Although this simple fact is obscured by the wizards of Wall Street and gods of money who want to make the money creation process into some special art of alchemy carefully overseen by the government, the truth is not hidden from the public. In December 1977, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York published another of its dumbed-down cartoon-ridden information pamphlets for the general public, attempting to explain the functions of the Federal Reserve System. There, in black and white, they carefully explain the money creation process. Commercial banks create checkbook money whenever they grant a loan, simply by adding new deposit dollars to accounts on their books in exchange for a borrower's IOU. Banks create money by monetizing the private debts of businesses and individuals. That is, they create amounts of money against the value of those IOUs. There it is, in plain English. The vast majority of money in the economy, the checkbook money in our accounts at the bank and that we use in our electronic transfers and digital payments, is created not by a government printing press, but by the bank itself. It is created out of thin air as debt, owed back to the bank that created it at interest. This means that bank loans are not money taken from other bank depositors, but new money simply conjured into existence and placed into your account. And the bank is able to create much more money than it has cash to back up those deposits. The Fed claims to be the entity overseeing and backing up the banking industry. It was established, according to its own propaganda, to stabilize the system and prevent bank runs like the Panic of 1907 from happening again.
Throughout much of the 1800s, almost any organization that wanted could print its own money. As a result, many states, banks, and even one New York druggist did just that. In fact, at one time, there were over 30,000 different varieties of currency in circulation. Imagine the confusion. Not only were there multitudes of currencies, some were redeemable in gold and silver, others were backed by bonds issued by regional governments. It was not unusual for people to lose faith both in the value of their currency and in the entire financial system. With many people trying to withdraw their deposits at once, sometimes the banks didn't have enough money on hand to pay their depositors. Then, when the funds ran out, the banks suspended payment temporarily and some even closed. People lost their entire savings. Sometimes regional economies suffered. Obviously, something had to be done. And in 1913, something was. And that year, President Woodrow Wilson signed into effect the Federal Reserve Act. This act created the Federal Reserve System to provide a safer and more stable monetary and banking system.
If that was indeed its aim, it signally failed to do so in running up one of the greatest bubbles in American history to that point in the 1920s. Just a decade after its creation. The popping of that bubble, of course, led directly into the Great Depression and one of the greatest periods of mass poverty in American history. Economists have long argued that the Fed itself was the cause of the Depression by its complete mismanagement of the money supply. As former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke admitted in a speech commemorating Fed critic Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, regarding the Great Depression, "You're right, we did it. We're very sorry. But thanks to you, we won't do it again." Price stability is another cited tenet of the Federal Reserve's mandate. But here, too, the Fed has completely failed to live up to its own standards.
Aside from the banking system, the Federal Reserve has another responsibility that's probably even more important. It's in charge of something called monetary policy. Basically, it means trying to keep prices stable to avoid inflation. Say you buy a CD today for $14, but what if next year the price of the CD jumped to $20 or $50, not because of a change in supply or demand, but because all prices were going up? That's inflation. There are a lot of different causes of inflation, but one of the most important is too much money. The Fed can adjust the money supply by injecting money into the system electronically or by withdrawing money from the economy. Think of it. The Federal Reserve has the ability to create money and make it disappear. What's most important is what happens as a result. Anytime the supply of money is altered, the effects are felt throughout the economy. The Fed's methods have changed over time to take advantage of the latest computers and electronics, but its mission remains the same: to aim for stable prices, full employment, and a growing economy.
100 years ago, in 1913, the Fed was created, and we've marked it with a vertical line there.
Okay, I just want to interrupt real quick. I'm going to play just a little more of this, but it was something that was shared that was wrong. Corbynium had the best intentions, but if you don't have a real sound foundation on this, there's some very critical mistakes that can be made. Whenever you hear 99.9% of the people talking about money, they are not talking about money. They're talking about currency, because currency is not money. And this is very, very important that we understand that. They've never given the general population real money. They've instituted real money, but they didn't teach you that it was real money. They gave you a misrepresentation, an impression of money. And by that impression, that is destroying your quality of life. It's known as cash. Cash is not money. Cash cannot be money. It's impossible for it to be money because it doesn't meet the criteria for money. And that's why we are so misled, purposely misled, and kept ignorant of those things, because once you know, you're accountable for what you know, and then you will start to see the deception at all phases. And that's so critical. Yes, what they're saying is significant and relevant, but the thing that's most important here is what they call money is not money. It is a contract of debt. The only thing the banks will ever give you is a contract of debt. And that's where we have to understand and know how and why. This is one of the reasons when you don't know these things and know fundamentally why that works, you won't be able to understand and see what's coming next really and fully grasp the importance of it. So I just wanted to interrupt there real quick. We're going to catch a little more of this, then open up the phone lines, and then we'll talk about the phone lines are open now, but we'll talk about this and why is this so important that you know all these things, and why should you be taking an interest in it, because it is directly affecting you in a way that is going to economically destroy and neuter you. Destroy, it's going to make you, and because we don't know these things, we will fall right into the trap. As a matter of fact, we are already in the trap as we speak now. But the opportunity to get out of it is still there, but that window is closing. And I would like for us to get out of this trap with as little collateral damage as possible. And it can be done. So let's go back to the video.
And we've marked it with a vertical line there. Consumer prices now are about 30 times higher than they were when the Fed was created in 1913.
Paper money, too, is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve. Hence, the dollars in circulation are not Treasury notes, not bills of credit, but Federal Reserve notes, debt-based notes, backed up, ultimately, by the government's own promise to pay, its sovereign bonds, backed up by the taxpayers themselves. At one time, the Federal Reserve banks were legally required to keep large stockpiles of gold in reserve to back up these notes. But that requirement was abandoned, and today the notes are backed up mostly by government securities. The Fed no longer keeps any actual gold on its books, but gold certificates issued by the Treasury and valued not at the spot price of $1,300 per troy ounce, but an arbitrarily fixed statutory price of 42.29 dollars per ounce.
But I do have one question. During the crisis or any time that you're aware of, has the Federal Reserve or Treasury participated in any gold swaps arrangements?
That's not all.
We don't. The Federal Reserve does not own any gold at all. We have not owned gold since 1934. So we have not engaged in any gold swaps.
But it appears on your balance sheet that you hold gold.
What appears on our balance sheet is gold certificates. When we turned in before 1934, we did, the Federal Reserve did own gold. We turned that over by law to the Treasury and received in return for that gold certificate.
If the Treasury entered into, because under the Exchange Stabilization Fund, I would assume they probably have the legal authority to do it. They wouldn't be able to do it then because you have the securities for essentially all the gold?
No, we have no interest in the gold that is owned by the Treasury. We have simply an accounting document that is called gold certificates that represents the value at a statutory rate
and still
that we gave to the Treasury in 1930.
And still measured at $42 an ounce, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Clearly, there is a discrepancy.
Okay, I had to stop it there. That was Ron Paul in a congressional hearing with a representative from the Federal Reserve. If you notice that they said that they have no gold at all. We haven't had gold since 1934, and the only thing that we do have is gold certificates. They basically have a receipt for the theft that they've taken the gold because they know the value of it. You don't. And what they did was they transferred that into a piece of paper because that's what they give you. Pieces of paper. And if you notice in today's world, today's receipts don't last even 3, 4 days, 5 days. They start to vanish and the overall inking on them and everything else goes away. You know what that is really symbolic of? And it's really, they pretty much tell you everything. You have no record of any form of a transaction at all. And you would think, well, how would I take back my stuff? Guess what? That is indications of your overall energy and labor has now been wiped away. Retirement, savings, and everything else has vanished off of the paper. The great invisible ink is now in play. This is important for us to understand when we continue to do all of the same things that we've done before. There is no march to freedom that you can engage in that the government will say you need to register for and to petition them for and to get a certificate in order, a license in order for you to march. See, when you do all of those things that don't amount to anything, you once again, your energy is not recorded. This is why they want you to continue to engage in the old former ways and all the former agents that they have strategically placed everywhere in order to give you guidance and direction as to what is the best thing for you because you're the so-called black leader of the community that have led nothing because they do a great job at what they're doing, at what they do. They represent the interests of the government at hand to keep you right where you are. So, I wanted you to pick that up. Here we go. Almost done.
Clearly, there is a discrepancy between what we are led to believe is motivating the Fed and what it actually does. To understand what the Fed is actually intended to do, it's first important to understand that the Federal Reserve is not a bank, per se, but a system. This system codifies, institutionalizes, oversees, and undergirds a form of banking called fractional reserve banking, in which banks are allowed to lend out more money than they actually have in their vaults.
Well, the whole process starts, the process of decay and corruption starts with something called fractional reserve banking. That's the technical name for it. And what that really means is that as the banking institution developed over several centuries, starting, of course, in Europe, it developed the practice of legalizing a certain dishonest accounting procedure. In other words, in the very, very beginning, if you want to go all the way back, people would bring their gold or silver to the banks for safekeeping. And they say, give us a paper receipt, and we don't want to guard our silver and our gold because, you know, people could come in the middle of the night and they could kill us or tie us up and threaten us, and they'll get our gold and silver. So we can't really guard it. We'll take it to the bank and have them guard it. And we just want a paper receipt so that we can take the receipt back and get our gold anytime we want. And so in the beginning, you know, money was receipt money. They could then, instead of changing or exchanging the gold coins, they could exchange the receipts, and people would accept the receipts just as well as the gold, knowing they could get the gold. And so these paper receipts being circulated were, in essence, the very first examples of paper money. Well, the banks learned early on that game that here they were sitting on this pile of gold and all these paper receipts out there. People weren't bringing the receipts in anymore. Very few of them, maybe 5%, maybe 7% of the people would bring in their paper receipts and ask for the gold. So they said, why don't we just sort of give more receipts out than we have gold? They'll never know because we only are asked at the best 7% of it. So we can create more receipts for gold than we have, and we can collect interest on that because we'll loan that into the economy and we'll charge interest on this money that we don't really have. And it's a pretty good gimmick, don't you think? And they, well, yeah, of course. And so that's how fractional reserve banking started. And now it's institutionalized and they teach it in school. No one ever questions the integrity of it or the ethics of it. They say, well, that's the way banking works. And isn't it wonderful that we now have this flexible currency and we have prosperity and all this sort of thing? So it all starts with this concept of fractional reserve banking. The trouble is with that is it works most of the time, but every once in a while, there are a few ripples that come along that are a little bit bigger than the other ripples. And maybe one of them is a wave. And more than 7% will come in and ask for their gold. Maybe 20% will come in or 30%. And well, now the banks are embarrassed because the fraud is exposed. They said, well, we don't have your gold. What do you mean you don't have my gold? I gave it to you and put it on deposit and you said you'd safeguard it. Well, we don't have it. We loaned it out. So then the word gets out. And everybody and their uncle comes and lines up for their gold. And of course, they don't have it. And the banks are closed. They have bank holidays. And the banks are embarrassed. They go out of business. People lose their savings. And you have these terrible banking crashes that were ricocheting all around the world prior to this time. And that's what caused the concern. One of the things that caused the concern of the American people, they didn't want that anymore. They wanted to put a stop to that. And that was the whole purpose, supposedly, of the Federal Reserve System, is to put a stop to that. But since the people who designed the plan to put a stop to it were the very ones who were doing it in the first place, you can not be surprised that their solution was not a very good one insofar as the American people were concerned. Their solution was to expand it, not to control it, but to expand it. See, prior to that time, this little game of fractional reserve banking was localized at the state level. Each state was doing its own little fractional reserve banking system. Each state, in essence, had its own Federal Reserve. Central banks were authorized by state law to do this sort of thing, and that was causing all this problem. And so the Federal Reserve came along and said, well, no, we're not going to do this at the state level anymore because look at all the problem it's causing. We're going to consolidate it all together and we're going to do it at the national level.
The key to this system, of course, is who controls this incredible power to regulate the economy by setting reserve requirements and targeting interest rates. The answer to this question, too, has been deliberately obscured. The Federal Reserve System is a deliberately confusing mishmash of public and private interests, reserve banks, boards, and committees, centralized in Washington and spread out across the United States.
So you have the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, appointed by the president. That's the only part of this system that is directly dependent upon the government for input. That's the federal part that the government, the president specifically, gets to choose a few select governors. The 12 regional banks, the most influential of which is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, essentially based in Wall Street to represent Wall Street, is representative of the major Wall Street banks who own shares in the private, not federal, but private Federal Reserve Bank of New York. All the other regional banks are also.
And I want to stop it there real quick. Fractional reserve banking is the myth of the problem, not the real problem. It is one of the expendable portions of the real problem. It's much deeper than that. Because they don't want you to actually know what it really is all about, because then you can do something about it. What it is that really is the cusp of this whole thing, they will not allow that to be put out. What they will only talk about is what they are willing for it to be put out for its destruction so that they can garnish more power, which they're doing right now actively. Fractional reserve banking is what they allow you to know, but you really have to investigate and find out what is really at the cusp of it all. You have to, in order to understand and to correct the problem, you have to know where it's rooted from the beginning. And everything else, so that you can't be misguided by its facades, its falsehoods, its deception. It's cloaking itself. And it's cloaking itself behind the banking system. Much bigger. Much, much bigger. But they use that, and they've effectively used it so well, why would they change what has worked? And I would say to you, show you the example that's here. Look at the past two Treasury secretaries. Timothy Geithner was at the New York Fed in 2008 when the crisis all happened. Jack Lew worked for Goldman Sachs. Was what a lot of people in the industry say was, well, they got a lot of different, don't want to say it, but these all positions are filled by the interest of the agenda. And it's all compartmentalized to keep the facade and the tricks and the deception going. It was all fundamentally rooted in enslavement. And the depths of the enslavement is quite deep. Quite deep. And because, as Sun Tzu said, you will never be able to win a battle if you don't know yourself and your enemy. They keep us from knowing ourselves so that we can never identify an enemy. We're struggling with trying to see, who am I? What am I? See, it's not a question that you would ask. It's an action that you would take on your person. And that has been distorted and purposely distorted through years and years of proven psychological indoctrination to domestication and enslavement. And we fell for it because we were born into it. And it continues because we haven't set out on a course
know ourselves so that we can't be defeated by an enemy. We got a couple of more minutes of this, and then we're going to actually go to the phone lines. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound. Then hit star 61, and I will see you in queue. Here we go. We're almost finished. Here we go.
All the other regional banks are also private banks. They vary according to how much influence they wield, but the Kansas City Fed is influential, the St. Louis Fed, the Dallas Fed. But the New York Fed is really the center of this system. And precisely because it represents the Wall Street banks who appoint the leadership of the New York Fed. So the New York Fed has a lot of public power, but no public accountability. It has no oversight. It does not answer to Congress the way that the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors does. And even then, the chairman of the Fed, of the Federal Reserve Board, who is appointed by the president, does not answer to the president. He does not answer to Congress. He goes to Congress to testify, but the policy that they set is independent. So they have no input from the government. The government can't tell them what to do, legally speaking. And, of course, they don't.
Do you think it would cause problems for the Fed or for the economy if that legislation was to pass?
My concern about the legislation is that if the GAO is auditing not only the operational aspects of our programs and the details of the programs, but is making judgments about our policy decisions, that would effectively be a takeover of monetary policy by the Congress, a repudiation of the independence of the Federal Reserve, which would be highly destructive to the stability of the financial system, the dollar, and our national economic situation.
The Federal Open Market Committee is responsible for setting.
Wait. Did you just hear that with that gentleman from the Fed? That was the former actor that was in Congress. I can't remember his name. He asked him that question in a hearing. Did you hear the threat that the bankers gave? We will basically collapse your economy if you try to interfere. And remember what Ben Bernanke said. Oh, yes, the Fed created the Great Depression. And we're sorry, and because of you, it can never happen again. That was another threat as to what's coming. See, it's all about controlling the general population from their participation in their system. They can only have a viable threat because you are engaging in their field of war. On their battlefield, and they control the pieces in the pawn of that battlefield as long as you continue to play by the rules that they set forth. And they've continuously made those threats. And because we don't understand and haven't looked into these things and have required something different from a standpoint of we don't ask you nothing. You're not entitled to a response from us as the people. We have delegated ourselves as the director of our energy and our faith and our move. And once you stop playing on their field, they are going to become extreme in their response to that. But their extreme response is a desperate, desperate last attempt at hanging on to what little control they have. And that is just the perception that they could win because they've already lost once we, the people, take our energy from them. Doesn't matter what they do. It only matters what you do. And that's the exact same thing that's happening now. Doesn't matter what they do because they're going to do it. It matters what you do. What you're doing right now
what you are planning for right now, what direction you're going in self. And this is so important because there's many facets to it, because we are not just physical entities. As a matter of fact, it's the smallest part of our existence of it all. It's so small, it's almost insignificant in nature. But we give too much influence to it. And because we give so much influence to it, we give a false life to it that can be easily manipulated. And here's why. We have very few warriors in the midst of all the soldiers. And why the people of valor are scarcely counted among all of the cowards that represent the masses of the population. So this overall system is an enslavement algorithm and an enslavement system to control your freedom, your prosperity, your energy, more importantly, your free will. This is the bond. This is the enslavement bond that has to be broken. I think we got like 5 minutes more of this. It's some really good stuff here so that you can kind of start to really get introduced to this. For some of you, this may not be new to you, but the thing about it is now we can start to put the pieces of it. It's actually 40 minutes longer, but we're not going to play the whole thing now. But it's very, very critical that we understand this, because from understanding this, we can see what really matters, and that's you. Let's go back to it. I think we got 10 minutes more, and then we'll go to any questions or comments that you may have. It's 5 minutes.
For setting interest rates. Now, this committee, which is enormously powerful, has as its membership the governor and vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board. But the Federal Open Market Committee, most of the membership is the presidents of the regional Federal Reserve banks representing private interests. So they have significant input into setting the interest rate. Interest rates are not set by a public body. They're set by private, financial, and corporate interests. And that's whose interests they serve, of course.
The reason that the Federal Reserve goes to such great lengths to make its organizational structure as confusing as possible is to cover up the massive conflicts of interest that are at the heart of the system. The fact is that the Federal Reserve System is comprised of a board of governors, 12 regional banks, and an open market committee. The privately owned member banks of each Federal Reserve Bank vote on the majority of the Reserve Bank's directors, and the directors vote on members to serve on the Federal Open Market Committee, which determines monetary policy. What's more, Wall Street is given a prime seat at the table, with tradition holding that the president of the powerful New York Federal Reserve Bank be given the vice chairmanship of the FOMC and be made a permanent committee member. In effect, the private banks are the key determinants in the composition of the FOMC, which regulates the entire economy. According to the Fed, its monetary policy decisions do not have to be approved by the president or anyone else in the executive or legislative branches of government. It does not receive funding appropriated by the Congress, and the terms of the members of the Board of Governors span multiple presidential and congressional terms. Or, in the words of Alan Greenspan,
what is the proper relationship, what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Want us to stop it there. Basically, they are the overseer. They serve someone that gives them the direction, but the every everyday person is allowed to see them because the actual decree or the decision of those that own and control that you don't know is disseminated throughout the land. What they do is this. They privatize the profits and socialize the liability. But it's even further than that. It is a all-arching enslavement program. They basically said that there's nothing that you can do or tell us. That may be very true of the government because the governments would never go against them. They actually are there to serve their purpose. But see, where the real threat in the real direction of that statement is to you. Why? Because they can only control you by your surrender. And they want you to continue to surrender as they continue to take. They are going to take everything until there's nothing left to take because they have an insatiable appetite for your destruction. And they don't care about a government because they place those governments. They only care about the extension of those antennas to you to make you think that you're inclusive in such a government, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. Right. See, those are the things, the decrees that have little to no meaning. But it gives you the perception. And what do we say? In so many instances, someone will ask you something about who's the Federal Reserve. I don't know. Where is real? I don't know. I don't know. Because every time we don't know something, that's where you're vulnerable to attack. How are we ever going to be free? The answer would be, I don't know. Because we don't know the enemy. We don't know ourselves. That is the first step in order for us to reach that place of sovereignty and self-determination. Okay, everyone, we're going to go back to this maybe later on sometime next week to finish this out. Very, very important. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we can't go to a commercial break. We're going to get out of here. If you have any questions or comments, definitely you can give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61, and we'll see you, and definitely pull you out of queue so that you can have your question or comment made. If you have a comment about some of the things that you just heard, or you have a question about some of the things you just heard, it would be a great, great time to actually ask this, because with the overall, the direction of these things, you may not have an opportunity to ask the question again about this stuff. And your comments and what you've learned about this is so, so important, so it can help other people understand where this is and where we need to go. There needs to be a Harriet Tubman approach to all of this. Because if it's not, this is only going to continue. And nothing else will change. And it's at a very critical point, because what is going to happen is that they are becoming the system is extremely, extremely vulnerable right now. Because there is a global awakening. I'm not saying that. Brzezinski said that. They call him Zbig. Was a professor at LA College, so to speak, where the CEO of America was, and he was the one that instituted and put together. He's been a part of every National Security Council from the president before Nixon, and he's been very influential in this whole thing. And Zbig said, In the past, it was easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. Now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people. What does that mean? If they realize from the global awakening that she spoke about, that there is a threat. And the threat is coming from the murmuring and the shouting and the loud talk of the people. The people are starting to look at things differently and no longer want to participate in the enslavement that they've been born into. And it's a powerful, powerful thing because the system is completely vulnerable to the everyday person. That everyday common person becoming the one of the most important persons are our individuals, our living spirits on the planet, and they resonate, and their resonance catches on to everyone else, and it starts to shatter the low frequencies of death and destruction. They feel the glass shimmering. One of the things with high frequency, it breaks through all forms of barriers. If you can't take the high frequency, the resonance of a high frequency, you will break. And they do not resonate high enough to withstand that. So what do they need to do? They need to suppress that as far and as quickly as they possibly can before all the walls shatter down. This is a great opportunity. And it's not going to be just one person. They want you to put your faith and confidence in one person, particularly a leader, particularly one that they grew, because then they're in control of it all. This is why they have a chain of command. And they want you to participate in the chain of command.
Can I add, brother?
A chain of command for a reason, because you're attached by a bond with a ball on the other end. Why it's called a chain of command, because that command chain to it. Tell you everything. Brother Davis, you said something?
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Brother Davis?
Yes, I wanted to add that we have a moral responsibility to our offspring, that we step out beyond our curtains of fear, because that's what it is.
Right.
When you step out, you begin to realize that you cause a rippling effect in the pond that literally turns into an ocean. But unless you add your portion, which may be a small drop, the pond will never reach the ocean. The ocean is always there. But you know what it takes? It takes coming out from behind that curtain of fear and having the courage to say, if I don't do this now, my children will suffer from my indecision. And the sad part about it is, that is true. I just wanted to add that, brother.
So true, Brother Davis, and well put, because that's exactly what it is. The ocean is there, it's just that you have to reach it. And at some point, we have to understand what the true meaning of love is, and that's when you stop living for yourself and start living for the advancement of someone else. And this is where we really are, and the opportunities are going to be great. And believe me, they understand and they feel the harmonic resonance of the movement. And they're going to, they've seen this before in their histories, because this is nothing new to them. It's only new to you, because we disconnected from our ancestors, because no longer do we communicate with them eternally like we had been originally created to do, because we bought into so many different
falsehoods, and we've accepted the deal that was brought forth. As biblically speaking, after 40 days of tempting, they say that the devil came to Jesus and made three attempts by offered the world. So many of us have taken that deal. We have a caller in queue. Let's go to this caller before we get out of here. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
How you doing? My name is Seneca. I'm from the South Florida area, Palm Beach, actually Boynton Beach. And I don't know. I don't really have a. I got a lot of questions. I'm like most people that just have become conscious. Got a lot of questions. A lot of things. It seems so overwhelming, man. When you start just seeing everything for what it really is, what's going on to our race, you know, what they're really doing. And I just want to call and say I appreciate you guys, man, and on all fronts. It's not just like y'all giving us politics or something like that. You're teaching us how to survive. You're teaching us how to trade, how to save, be financially savvy. So I just wanted to call it and say thank you, guys. I'm mute my line on that.
Brother, I would say thank you because for you being who you are, and we are in this together, and we are all, you know, we were all born into this, but we don't have to settle for this. And I'm glad that you've made that choice not to settle for this. And because of that, you are right where you're supposed to be. And your future is so bright because of who you're going to be able to touch and what you're actually going to be able to produce and what your legacy will be because of that commitment that you've made to be sincere in nature and sincere in living. And I want to thank you as we move into this together. You know, whenever it's time to go to war, and we are in a spiritual physical war. Whenever you're ready to go to war, you always want those sincere spirits that are around you that are going to actually engage in the things that are necessary for the victory to be at hand. And guess what? Without a shot being fired, you've already won because of the collective prudence that you all share. That we all share. We are free once we realize that there's been an attempt, a strong attempt to enslave us, but we no longer allow those attempts to control us. So be sovereign, brother, be self-determining, and I sincerely thank you, and I can't wait to actually meet you. And so we are going to continue to do, and I know Brother Davis, Brother Bragg, Scotty, and everyone that comes on the Tando Radio Show, Angel and Lance MJ, we all really, really do appreciate you because this is why we've decided to step out and do the things that we are doing because we want to do it with you. So much love, much respect to you out in South Florida. Great place to be, and hopefully we'll get to see you soon, brother. So, okay, everyone, just want to say thank you all. If you're interested in taking the Precious Metals class, the monthly training, you still can. Just contact me. You can text me at 951-790-8330. If you need to email, you can email wolf1@gmail.com. That's wolf6pack1@gmail. Much love and much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, to be a blessing. And God willing, we will talk to you soon. Peace and love. Thank you all.
Girl, you are rich.
even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing.